Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And right now, Thomas Hearns is an open book for Ray Leonard. Backs up against the ropes.
This is one of the most unusual calls by a referee in the history of the sport.
The first loss.
A tremendous victory. Leonard fighting off the ropes.
It happened. It happened.
An uppercut by Douglas. Down goes Tyson.
Hooks it. Right hand shot.
Leonard's over. Knocks down by Tyson.
Now slumps to the canvas.
The champion struggles to stay on his feet.
How do you like it?
Welcome, fight fans, to another episode of BTR Boxing Podcast Legendary Nights with me, your host, John Bastow, joined as always by Johnston Brown for this latest episode, as voted for by you, the users of Twitter, the listeners to the podcast. You voted for Sweet Revenge, Lennox Lewis versus Haseem Rahman, the rematch. We're going to be talking about this fight in its entirety, build up, breakdown, aftermath. We're also obviously going to touch on the first fight and how this came about. But before we get into it, of course, go and follow us on social media at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter and BTR Boxing Podcast on Facebook. If you've not already subscribed to the podcast, you can do so by checking us out on Apple Podcasts. Please go on there and subscribe. If you've already subscribed, please rate and review us. Also, you can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Player FM, and even Spotify. And if you want to, you can subscribe to Eat Seat Boxing Repeat's YouTube channel and find us on there as well. So this is it then, guys. As voted for by you in the Sweet Revenge poll, this is the tale of Lennox Lewis versus Haseem Rahman, number 2. Johnston, this is it, the final judgment, Lewis versus Rahman, number 2. As voted for by the users of Twitter and BTR Boxing Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Player FM. You're all on there, you've all been voting. Thanks so much for voting for this episode. We really, really appreciate it. And what a hell of a fight, and what a hell of a night to be talking about.
It really is sweet revenge for Lennox Lewis. It was a good pick from those that voted on Twitter. It was a decent poll with Patterson Johansson 2, Byron Holyfield 2, and Lewis Smelling 2. And it was a clear winner. So good pick from the viewers. And it's great to be able to cover Lennox Lewis once again, this time against Haseem Rahman.
So it's the second time he's popped up on the Legendary Night series. The first one was the first Evander Holyfield fight, and now we get the Rahman fight a little bit later on in his career. So as always, we're going to break the Legendary Nights episode down by looking a little bit into the career of Lennox Lewis before the Rahman fight. And we will include the first Rahman fight, of course, as well, and discuss what led into this second fight. We'll also be discussing the build-up to this second fight, the fight itself, and the aftermath as well. So let's get into it then. Of course, we've got to start at the end of the Holyfield fight, really, and what led on for Lennox Lewis from there on in. So we talked about in the previous episode of Legendary Nights, when we covered the first Holyfield fight, that draw led on to a rematch, of course, and it was an immediate rematch against Evander Holyfield later on that year in 1999, where Evander Holyfield would subsequently lose the heavyweight titles to Lennox Lewis in what was another convincing performance from Lewis.
Tonight, boxing crowns an undisputed heavyweight champion, as after 12 rounds of action, we go to the scorecards with a unanimous decision. Here are the score total. Judge at ringside, Jerry Roth, scores at 115 to 113. Judge Chuck Jompa scores at 116 to 112. Judge at ringside, Bill Graham, sees it 117 to 111. All three in favor of the winner and the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox Lewis.
It was actually a little bit closer in terms of looking at the first one, although the other one was a draw. So it was interesting because, you know, that was a shocking, a really bad judging performance for me. I don't understand how Lennox Lewis didn't win the first one. In the second one, it was a little bit tighter, a little bit closer. But even saying that, I think Lennox Lewis won the fight, and he was clearly the better man on the night once again, and he deserved to then become the number one heavyweight in the division for me, before obviously moving on to Michael Grant.
So Michael Grant was 31-0 at the time Lennox Lewis got in the ring with him, and it was obviously a big test for him because at this point Michael Grant was obviously beating everybody that was put in front of him at this point in time. So he'd been beating guys that would come up in the Legendary Nights series before and on our career profile series. So we had Lou Savarese in there, we had Andrew Galotta in there, and then obviously he bumped into Lennox Lewis and lost to Lennox Lewis. I thought this was a really, really good performance from Lennox Lewis when he went in there and he stopped Michael Grant in the second round.
It was good to see Lennox back to those destructive ways, if you like, really sort of throwing that jab with intentions and then following it up with a right. And just in the end, I thought Grant, he obviously seized the opportunity against Grant and got rid of him in the second round, and it was a nice vintage performance from Lennox. And again, he was just proving once again that he was the man in the division and the best out of them all, really. Obviously, in the horizon was obviously everybody wanted to see the Mike Tyson fight, but, you know, another great performance from Lennox.
It was another great performance from Lennox, and this is where he started to go on a little bit of a run before the first Hasim Rahman fight. His next fight was against former Mike Tyson opponent in Franz Bolver. Now, Franz Bolver was knocked out by Mike Tyson in 1999, and then Lennox Lewis gets in the ring, and obviously people are making the immediate comparisons. Will Lennox Lewis go in there and knock him out? Will he beat him the same way Tyson did? Well, yeah, he did. He went in there and knocked him out within two rounds and just shown again why people regarded him as the best heavyweight in the world. He held the titles. There was nobody out there, essentially, that could beat him at this point. And then he moved on again to another dangerous opponent, a dangerous puncher in David Chua, who was 37 and one loss at that point in his career as well. So he was another danger fight for Lennox Lewis. But again, Lewis, he just overcame this. He negated everything Chua had. You know, people were saying, oh, you know, you're going to get caught off this guy. If you get caught off him, we know what was going to happen. But he managed to keep him at range all the way through the fight and boxed him to a unanimous decision, and really impressive performance.
It was, and David Chua, he's a funny one, isn't he? Because, I mean, he was so little for a heavyweight. He was tiny. So, you know, we speak now about Anthony Joshua and fighting smaller opponents and how difficult it can be, but Lewis proved on the night that, you know, it was pretty comfortable for him all night. I remember watching that fight around a friend's house, and he literally just boxed his head off. He used his jab well and kept Chua away. He didn't want to get Chua. The last thing you want to do is have Chua get sort of close to you and push you up against the ropes, which he didn't allow him to do, and he won it convincingly. It was a very good performance from Lennox Lewis, and again, he just continued to just move on through the division. The only name we all wanted to see at the time was obviously Mike Tyson. We were all desperate to see that fight. And he was the only real other name that was potentially that could dethrone Lennox. But, you know, as we obviously know, we move on to the Hasim Rahman fight, the first fight in South Africa. Obviously wanted to move himself along and be a bit like a bit like what Ali was like and travel around the world and show off, you know, he's the heavyweight champion and, you know, just just to fight in other continents and other countries was a way to do that. And obviously, Hasim Ratman, I believe, was ranked number seven in the world at the time. And it was just a guy for Lennox to just get some brands under his belt, because he didn't want to just blast the guy away, just stick any no one in there and beat some fella up before the Tyson fight, because that was inevitably what was coming. So we decided to go with Hasim Ratman. He was handpicked, and we all know how that worked out. It didn't go well for him. He didn't perform well at all, didn't do the fundamentals that we'd seen, as we've just discussed and spoke about, against Grant and Chua. And he got caught. And he got caught big with that big right hand and got flattened.
Lennox Lewis is like a big cat. Ratman, jab, 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 jab. Four of them. Chases Lewis across the ring.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that we talk about the first Ratman fight. Ratman seemingly he kind of came from nowhere really for this shot at the heavyweight title in the first fight. Because when you looked at his career, he was undefeated up until the point he got in with David Chua in December of 1998 and got blown away by David Chua. And that wasn't for any particular major title at the time. He was only fighting for, as you would say, an ABC title, an RBF Intercontinental Heavyweight, and a USBA Heavyweight title. He loses to Chua, comes back, has a couple of wins, gets a decent win over Oleg Maskev, and then Marion Wilson, and then Corey Sanders. And then it's like, you know, this is where he gets the opportunity, because Lennox Lewis has handpicked him. And just to go back and correct myself there, Oleg Maskev, he actually lost to Oleg Maskev via KO. So this was his second defeat on his record at this point in time. So, he wasn't really anybody that I would say was feared in the heavyweight division at this point. I think it's fair to say that when this fight was made for the first time, I think it's easy to sit here and say now that Lewis definitely overlooked Hasim Ratman in that first fight. And with the way Lewis was at the time, you know, he was on top of the world. He was the king of the heavyweights. Nobody at that point could touch him in the division. It was all leading to that big fight with Mike Tyson. And then we got to South Africa and things just went really drastically wrong overnight. And it was one punch that shook the world back in 2001. When Hasim Ratman stopped Lennox Lewis in 5 rounds to become the unified heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, it really did. I remember watching the fight on BBC One. When I was looking back on this, I didn't realise it was on BBC One. But you know, it's very it's unusual for BBC to put a show out. It was always sort of ITV, wasn't it? And obviously Sky. So it was interesting to see them do that. So it is actually on YouTube. The whole hour, like 3 hours of the actual full show is actually all on there. So I was quite interesting to watch that back. And obviously Hasim Ratman was a 20-1 underdog. And as you say, I mean, the Chua fight, I mean, I didn't even know. I'll be blatantly honest, all I knew of Hasim Ratman is he was the opponent for Lennox Lewis. The first time I'd ever heard of him. And he come out and over. So sort of going back and sort of just having a look at some of his fights that are around on YouTube, I'd say to anyone to go and watch the David Chua fight, because David Chua, that was a good fight, and he was unlucky. Chua hit him right on the end of the bell and was lucky not to get disqualified, and then ended up getting rid of him. But the other good fight is obviously the Corey Sanders fight. I would definitely ask anyone that loves boxing, just loves to watch a tear up, Hasim Ratman and Corey Sanders is a brilliant fight. And obviously Corey Sanders is the guy that beat Klitschko, so if anyone didn't know that. So yeah, a good fight to go back and look at. But yeah, he actually come in, he was a complete underdog. No one expected him to derail Lennox Lewis. Everyone was expecting that Mike Tyson fight, and well, you know, it was a shock defeat. And Lennox, you know, he was hurt. I mean, there was a couple of times in sort of around the fourth round, I believe, even the third round, but he was landing that right hand at will. And one of the commentators, I can't think who it was, but there was a commentator on BBC, on the BBC network that's on YouTube, that kept saying that he keeps hitting him with his right hand. He's got to be careful with his right hand. And he just kept dropping that left hand. And it was like, he was inviting Hasim Ratman to land it. And he did in the end, in that fifth round. And he absolutely flattened Lennox Lewis. And an absolute shock. One of the biggest shocks for me in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And just touching on the point about the fact that it was on the BBC over here in the UK, as you said, it was quite unusual because BBC had not really picked up boxing for quite a long time. And it was around this time, after the Sydney Olympics in 2000, that they'd picked it back up again. And there was a specific reason why they picked it back up again. It was because we had a gold medalist in boxing in the super heavyweight division by the name of Audley Harrison. And obviously, he was being pushed as the next big heavyweight hope for Britain at that point in time. And that is why the BBC ended up getting boxing on their channel at that point. And then obviously as part of that, you know, they ended up showing this fight with Lewis and Rackman. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I think it was something like 4 o'clock in the morning to cater to all audiences across the world. And obviously to stay up and watch Lennox Lewis get knocked out the way he did after expecting him to just go in there and blow Rackman away was an absolute shocker, really. But Lewis didn't seem right on that night at all. He seemed like he was a little bit unfit. He seemed to sort of gas quite early on in the fight. I mean, he got stopped in five, but by rounds two and three, it was like looking at him and his mouth starting to open already, and you're thinking to yourself watching it, you know, I know the heat's quite extreme over there, but it just seems a little bit strange, to be honest with you. And the way he kept on dropping that left hand, I think you could kind of see the writing was on the wall early on in that fight. But for us as fans at that time, we were expecting Lennox Lewis to just get this 1-2 combination off and change the course of the fight, and it just didn't happen. It was crazy. And as a result of this, now this led into a massive fight and a massive change in the career of Hassan Rahman, because, you know, we talk about underdogs. Buster Douglas was a 42-1 underdog against Mike Tyson in 1990. Hassan Rahman was a 20-1 underdog and pulled off, obviously, one of the biggest upsets in boxing history after knocking out Lennox Lewis in that fifth round. So as a result of this now, this leads nicely into the second fight, the one that we're covering today. And as a result of that victory over Lennox Lewis, it changed the life of Hassan Rahman, because Hassan Rahman then gets the opportunity to join a massive promoter. And who is it? It's our good old friend making another appearance on the podcast, Mr. Slippery Slimy Motherfucker himself, Don King.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah. Do you know what? When it happened, I remember I do remember it quite well. This guy's come out of nowhere, Hassan Rahman, into Felix Lewis. And now we get this situation where, you know, I'm sure in the contract there was a rematch. I think there was always problems, wasn't there, with where he's going to go. For me, when I found out he got with Don King, I just assumed, you know, he's just, as I say, he's just that scumbag, and he's just come in because obviously his other promoter, his other promoter in actual fact was Cedric Kushner. And Cedric Kushner was a sort of around in the 90s. He wasn't a big name promoter. But sort of for first of all, I thought that Don King just slipped in and got rid of him. In actual fact, listening to Hassan Rahman recently on I forget what podcast it was, but it was interviewed on a podcast from an American guy, and apparently Hassan Rahman, his contract run up at the end of the 10th of April. So it was just before that fight in South Africa, which was on the 22nd of April. So his contract with Kushner had basically ended, although he didn't declare it publicly. The only way that contract could be reignited was if Kushner gave Haseem Rahman $50,000. And if he'd have given him the $50,000 before the fight, then, you know, he continued with that contract. Or a new contract, if you like. But Kushner didn't do that. In actual fact, he neglected that. He left it. He waited for this fight to happen, possibly looking at it and thinking, he's probably not going to beat Lewis. It makes no difference if I give him the money maybe later on. So Haseem Rahman, at the time, when he went into that fight in South Africa, he was a free agent. Nobody ever knew that. And he felt in himself that, you know, he's backing himself. No one else is backing him. He's got no promoters. Kushner's not backing him because he's not giving him 50K. So what happened was, obviously, he goes and beats Lennox Lewis. So now he's a free agent. Now you've got HBO, Showtime, and to Kushner giving him all these wonderful packages. I think one of them was saying the Tyson fight, one was saying a rematch with Lewis. And he was getting these massive sort of million-pound deals, Kushner. So when he's gone to Ratma to get this fight signed and sealed for whoever it's going to be, sort of Ratman said, no, I've been approached by Don King. And Don King had actually, I believe it was a sort of, in Times Square, like a shady little restaurant or hotel. He met Haseem Rahman, and he gave him, I believe it was a check for about, I think it was $2.5 million and a cash a suitcase full of cash, which was $500,000. So all in all, it was like $3 million. So he basically gazumped Kushner, and, you know, and Rahman says to this day, you know, King, at least he come to me, he give me a suitcase worth of like sort of $500,000 in cash there and then in his hand, and then a check for $2.5 million. So he was like, well, I'm going to knock Kushner and I'm going to sign with Don King. So yeah, that slippery bastard again steps in and picks up the undisputed heavyweight champion, who was Haseem Rahman at the time. So an interesting story that I didn't know until sort of digging through the archives for the build up to the second one.
You were talking about, obviously, Showtime and HBO having a bit of a standoff to try and get him on the network for the next defence of his title. And it was quite interesting because, as you said, you know, you had Showtime offering Rahman $19.25 million to make his first defence against their premier fighter at the time was Mike Tyson. Well, HBO countered with a $70 million offer to meet Lewis in the rematch. But initially, Rahman actually turned down both of them offers, and instead he'd opted to take a less lucrative fight against a fringe contender by the name of David Izon that would only net him around $5 million. But Lewis had signed the contract originally with a rematch clause in it, so obviously Lewis weren't going to let this lie. He wanted the immediate rematch. He wanted to get his sweet revenge on Haseem Rahman, so he had to basically go to court to get this rematch instilled, which he did. And in the June of 2001, a judge ruled in Lewis's favour, so as a result, both Rahman and Lewis agreed for the rematch to take place on November the 17th, and that's where it kicked straight in to the build-up between these two, and the most notable incident that happened on a TV show.
People wonder, and they sit out here and they say, how can you get these two guys together? They're trying to beat each other's brains in when they're in the ring. What crosses the line when a guy says something about you?
Well, he can say what he wants, as long as he keeps his hands in front of him. I mean, I'm not going to let him get to me mentally. So as long as he keeps his hands to himself, then we do it for the money.
I think what crosses the line when you talk some personal stuff, say if you say something about a person's mother or something like that, I think that crosses the line. I think, you know, you should be able to keep it professional.
During your radio gigs here, did he question your sexuality?
Yeah, he said, why are you starting that gay stuff? I'm saying, I'm not gay. Why are you calling me gay? He said he's not calling me gay. So I don't understand that.
What did you say, Haseem?
I said what he did was gay. I say he want to take it to the court, and we fighting that around the same time. I told him we was going to fight anyway. So I said that was gay to take it to the court. I mean, if he, I don't know why he was so offended.
I'm 100% woman's man, so don't even play that. If you're worried about that, bring your sister, bring anyone.
Look, hold. I'm going to tell you right now, If you don't want me saying nothing about your mother, your father, or anybody else in your family,
listen,
do not say nothing about my family.
Be careful what you
do
say.
Do not say nothing about my family.
Be careful what you say to
do
me.
Do not say nothing. Man, you ain't nobody. I say what I want to say to you.
Go ahead, man.
I say what I want to say to you. What you mean? I just said it. What you want me to say? What you want me to say?
Same thing.
Like what? Like what?
Anything you want.
Like what?
Anything you want.
What you want me to say?
Same thing you want.
What?
Fellas, fellas. Okay, we don't want that. Guys,
it was actually one we missed when we done the boxing brawls. Actually, we didn't pick up on this one, so we did forget about this. Just to correct myself as well, it weren't $2.5 million that Donkin gave Hattie Mack. It was actually $4.5 million in the check. Just wanted to clear that up, and $500,000 in cash. So anyway, it was all together, it's $5 million. But anyway, moving on to the actual. To promoting the fight, both Ratman and Lewis made an appearance on the ESPN interview show hosted by Gary Miller, Up Close, I believe it was called. Ratman had done an earlier radio interview in which he criticised Lewis's decision to sue him in breach of the contract, calling it gay, saying, you know, it's a gay move type of thing. And obviously, Lennox Lewis took it as he's calling him gay. So when they eventually met face-to-face at this face-to-face up close with Gary Miller on ESPN, it started to get a little bit silly. And in the end, Lewis did throw the line, which I thought was a little bit below the belt, was, you know, if you think I'm gay, well, bring me your sister. And Ratman didn't quite like that at all. So the two ended up sort of face-to-face. And then in the end, they ended up having a little rolling around on the floor. And you could see Lewis was seething. I mean, I've never actually seen Lewis this pissed off. You could tell he was so annoyed that he had sort of overlooked Hassan Ratman, and he didn't like the way Ratman was carrying himself. And, you know, credit to Ratman, he's the champion of the world, and he's putting it on Lewis, and he's trying to get in his head, and he did. And they had a little tussle on it live on television. It was a funny one to watch, actually.
Yeah, it was really good, that, actually. It was a really good little brawl, weren't it? Because, you know, like you said, they was on this, it was like a couch, and they were just sat there on like this chat show on a couch next to each other. And obviously, as you said, you know, Ratman has mentioned this earlier on in a different interview, and Lewis comes on and basically says, I'm 100% a woman's man. And then if Ratman, if you have any worries, bring your sister. So as you said, they get in each other's face, and it's just hilarious because you just know like shit's about to go down. And then Lewis sort of delivers the first bit of physical altercation because he gives a little bit of a push to Ratman. So then obviously Ratman retaliates and tries to sort of take Lewis down, and they basically end up. If you've not seen it, please go and check it out. Amazing, brilliant, great little clip on YouTube for this. So they basically start scuffling, and as a result, Ratman managed to get Lewis. Sort of pushed him down onto this table that was there, which was the interview table that the host was originally on. So under the weight of Lewis, the table collapses, and they're both on the floor, and they're still scuffling, and then you see all the staff running in to separate them, and it's a piece of boxing history on television that, you know, I think it should be something that we look back on and we laugh about, and it brings us great memories because it really got people hyped up for this particular fight. Lewis, as you were saying, Johnston, you know, pissed off, you know, this guy this guy had everything, didn't he? You know, he was at the top of the mountain, he'd done everything he needed to do. The only thing eluding him was this fight with Mike Tyson, and yet he let this guy come in here who'd lost twice to people, you know, couldn't really lace up Lewis's boots, and yet he got stopped because, as he admitted himself on the Joe Rogan podcast about 6 months ago, that he was doing a film shoot at the time in South Africa, and he had all these other responsibilities, and he weren't keeping his eye 100% on the ball, and as a result, he didn't train the way he would normally train with the same hunger and desire and passion, and as a result, he got sloppy and he got caught, and that one punch changed the fight and changed the landscape of the heavyweight division at that point. But for Lewis, it was all about this sweet revenge that we've been talking about. It was all about getting the revenge on seeing Ratman, and the way to do it was to go in there and put on a show. And as we move into the fight itself, this is where it becomes exciting because, you know, we've seen it quite recently with the Anthony Joshua losing to Andy Ruiz situation. You know, you've got a guy who's seemingly on top of the world, regarded as the best heavyweight on the planet, goes in against an underdog, and the underdog wins, and it just causes all sorts of hell to the heavyweight division. And for this particular fight, you had Hassan Rahman, who, by the way, was actually getting paid $10 million for this rematch. $10 million he got paid for it. And you know how much Lewis got paid? $11 million, which is quite crazy to think that that one punch changed the life of Hassan Rahman. Just before we move on any further in this episode of Legendary Nights, I just want to take a quick moment, as always, to give a shout out to the sponsors for BTR Boxing Podcast, Bear Attack Boxing. You hear us talking about them in every single episode, about the high quality products that they're producing. They have various sets of fight gloves, they have various sets of pads, t-shirts, hand wraps. There's quite a lot of fantastic products on their website at the moment, and I urge you, as a listener and as a fight fan, to go onto the website and check out what they're doing. So if you go to www.bearattackboxing.co.uk, you can find all the latest products that they're producing. And also, as a listener to the podcast, you get a discount as well. What's more, you go into the checkout and you type in BTR10 in the promo code section, you'll get 10% off your basket, which, to be honest with you, it's a good few quid in this day and age, so why not get over there and check it out? You know where to find them. They're on social media at Bear Attack Boxing, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You know the website, www.bearattackboxing.co.uk. Go and check out the products. If you do go and purchase something from listening to this advertisement for Bear Attack Boxing, then please drop us a message on Twitter at BTR Boxing Pod and let us know. We've had a few people do that, and I really appreciate the feedback on the products that you're getting from them. And I'm sure the guys at Bear Attack Boxing also really appreciate it. So thanks for listening, and we'll get back to this episode of Legendary Nights.
Completely. I mean, he gets a $10 million purse. You know, he's got himself $5 million from Don King. It was a sign and on fee that he picked up, you know, $500,000 cash. I mean, his life completely turned around. You know, just before that fight, you know, he's got his promoter that won't even give him 50,000. You know, now he's in the millions. I mean, it's just impressive, really, just from one punch. And that just shows you how beautiful the heavyweight division is, because it can change the whole landscape of just by one shot. And by other fighters overlooking him. But as you mentioned with Lewis, yes, he was doing the film sit for Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12, whatever it was, with Klitschko, funny enough, wasn't it? I don't know if it was Vlad or if it was Vitaly. But yeah, and obviously being in South Africa, he didn't adjust to the weather, and that's why he would be blowing so early. So for him, he just obviously felt that he could get through it, and he didn't, unfortunately. So this was, you could just tell with Lewis. I remember at the time thinking, what, I can't believe he's lost. And then thinking, sort of as I'm watching all the shenanigans that's happening with this flipping altercation that rolling around on the flipping TV set, and just seeing Lewis, how he was talking, and he looked like he was just ready for it. And you know, he had already done it with Oliver McCall. It wasn't straight away. He had lost that fight, but he did get a rematch against him and finish him off. And this was the first time he'd managed to get sort of a rematch from a defeat straight after. And I think that was the other thing, is most people were looking at it, most pundits and experts felt at the time that is Rahman as good? Is he this good? Did Lewis overlook him? These are the questions I started to think now. Is Lewis maybe on the slide? And now you start thinking, did he overlook him? Maybe. So you start asking questions about Lennox Lewis, sort of similar to how people are with Anthony Joshua. Okay, Lennox Lewis is completely different to what Joshua was at this time of his, in this stage of his career. But, you know, he had already proved himself, and this was a chance now to just put those demons to rest. And I think most people believed that Rahman would win this by knockout, or Lewis would win on points. So it was hotting up nicely for this big fight, and it was another big night for Rahman. But win, lose or draw, the guy's already winning with the amount of money he's picked up.
Oh, it's 100%. There's, like I say, the punch that changed his life, weren't it? You know, the fact that he was able to get $10 million plus the deal with Dodgy Don King and plus whatever else off the back of it. It was absolutely crazy to think.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
that he has gone down in history at one point as the unified heavyweight champion of the world. Yeah, it was only for one fight and it was only for a few months, but, you know, that's more than what most people go in the sport and end up actually achieving. So for him to have been able to say that he's a part of boxing history in more than one way is amazing to really think about. And yeah, we're going to talk about the fight in a minute, and we're going to talk about how that actually went down in the aftermath of this particular fight and the impact and the legacy it's left on the sport. But for a guy like Haseem Rahman, really, who, like I said earlier, I allude back to the fact that he'd lost twice, you know, to guys that really couldn't lace up the boots of Lennox Lewis, who is now regarded as a boxing legend, as one of the greatest heavyweights that I've ever lived. So for me, this was a massive, massive meal ticket, a massive lottery ticket. And, you know, he struck lucky the night when he beat Lennox Lewis. But this second fight, as we come into it now, was going to be completely different affair. So as the fight gets underway, then we've got all the anxiousness, the nervousness. And you look at Lewis coming out of the dressing room, coming to the ring, and he looks as focused and as hungry as I'd ever seen him in his career.
Absolutely. He looked in the zone, didn't he? He looked ready to go. Although I did hear an interview where he was saying he felt unbelievably relaxed as well in the changing room. He said, like, on the night when he was sitting there, sort of a few hours or an hour before he came out to the ring, he said he was just nice and calm. He felt calm. He felt like, you know, he'd done everything he needed to do. He trained his bollocks off and he was ready to just, as I say, just put these demons to rest. And just anyone that was ever questioning Lennox Lewis, you know, he put it out there that Haseem Rahman, it was just one punch. It was a lucky one punch. It's not going to happen again. And from that first bell, you could see the intentions were there. That jab, that left-handed jab from Lennox was throwing it with intention. And he looked really up for it and pumped up. And there was just no answer from Rahman from the first bell. And he was just popping that left jab out, staying in the centre of the ring, sort of moving his weight between one left to, from left foot to right foot, and then throwing the right hand, following it up with the right hand when he had the opportunity to. And he was actually, I don't know if it was a left-handed jab or if it was the right hand. I think it may have been the right hand, but in the opening round, it ended up opening a cut on Haseem Rahman's eye as well, which again just shows you just the amount of power he's putting behind those jabs and those right hands.
You know, when you look back on the fight, you look at how much of a controlled, composed performance this second fight was, because Rahman really wasn't in the fight. Like, I mean, when I watched back on it in preparation for the episode to discuss it, I didn't realise, you know, how much control Lewis had in this fight. From my memories of it, and I mean, we're going back 18 years here from when I watched it, you know, I remember it to be a little bit more of an anxious affair. But then watching back on it for the episode, I was like, actually, Lewis just totally bossed him and controlled him all the way through. And he was just teeing off, really. He was just picking his shots really nicely. Haseem Rahman really wasn't even able to get underneath that jab to get close enough to Lewis. You know, the distance had been measured quite early on in the fight in that first round by Lennox Lewis, and I was really, really impressed by the way his concentration was 110%, and that's kind of what it boiled down to in the first fight, really, was obviously concentration, amongst other things, is that he had a lapse of concentration the moment he dropped that left hand and the moment that, you know, Haseem Rahman landed that punch on Lennox Lewis to stop the fight. It was just amazing to see the turnaround between earlier on in 2001 to November in 2001 when he gets in the ring with him. And for the first four rounds of the fight, he's totally bossing him. He's bossing him with that jab. He's dictating the pace of the fight. And, you know, when you look at the sort of way Lennox Lewis's career is remembered, that for me, and this fight for me, sort of epitomised what Lennox Lewis was as a fighter.
Definitely. I think people just see Lewis as a bit of a distance fighter, I think. I mean, I think now he's starting to get sort of recognition. I mean, it's hard to believe. For the younger generation, who probably would think, what would you mean? He's always had the recognition, Lennox Lewis. He hasn't. Not with the British fans, you know. I mean, you got to remember, he was in Canada. He was, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was born in Jamaica, wasn't he? And then he ended up in Canada where he went to the Olympics, and then he came over to Britain to obviously, and he was, you know, at the end of the day, I think he was an East, you know, he was brought up young in the East End, and when he went to Canada, he was sort of bullied. I know we're moving off the subject here, but he wasn't really, he didn't get that recognition for me, basically. I always felt that it was later on after his career that he got that, but this fight in particular, when you watch these first sort of three rounds, the way Lewis is popping off that jab and he's throwing that right hand and he's even throwing the left hooks in as well. That was the first time I'd really seen Lewis in a while. Apart from obviously he had the knockouts of Grant, etc. But for me, he was always a bit like a Klitschko in terms of the way he'd feel comfortable and probably a bit too overconfident where he could just throw the jab and he'd keep him at distance and he would just sort of guide his way through a fight. But this one, in this night, when he was throwing that jab and he's throwing the right hand and he's just holding the centre of the ring, weren't allowing Ratman to get close to him, he was a boxer puncher that night and it was one of the best performances and clinical performances from Lewis. It probably doesn't get the recognition it deserves because probably he showed that Haseem Ratman was, as you said earlier, he could barely tie up his shoelaces. Because let's be honest, Haseem Ratman, people used to say he was a killer. He was a good fighter. He was nowhere near the level of Lennox Lewis. And he showed that in those first three rounds where he was just throwing that left hand. I mean, even in the second round, Haseem Ratman does land the right hand and he just smiles it off. He smiles it off. In the first one, he smiled it off, but it hurt him. This one didn't hurt him. And it just got him back into... He's like, I ain't catching with that again, basically, and I'm going to just box his head off until I'm going to get rid of him. And obviously moved on to the fourth round, and that's what he did.
Well, the finish came when Lewis connected with a fantastic left-right combination that sent Ratman absolutely sprawling to the mat. Obviously, Ratman tried his hardest to get back up, but he was absolutely concussed by these shots. It was a great left hook, right-hand combination that dropped him and floored him, and you knew as soon as it landed... You know, it's a highlight reel knockout. As soon as it lands, it's over. The fight's over. You know, yeah, he wasn't unconscious, but he was done. He was done in. He tried his best to get up at the count of nine, and then as a result, he couldn't make the count. The referee waves the fight off. Lewis gets named the winner by knockout, regaining the heavyweight titles in the process, and the passion and hunger and, I think, relief he's shown at the end of the fight, winning this fight, for me, kind of said it all. It felt like it was 6 months of frustrations and disappointment all let out by that left-right combination.
Ratman's starting to get his jab more powerful.
Oh! Wonderful shot by Lennox Lewis! And he's laid out! Haseem Ratman, is he going to get up from that? It was a fantastic shot! And Ratman will move very, very well. He will be stopped! It is over! Revenge! Redemption! For Lennox Lewis!
Now the three-time heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox!
Oh yeah, it was a beautiful combo, and Ratman was even advised to keep putting his hands up as well, which in the third round, and he tried to do it, sort of put his both hands up to try and block it off, and Lewis sort of just threw that right hand on the outside around his hands and just caught him on the chin, and then the left come in and completely just a wonderful 1-2, and it just flattened Ratman. It was an absolute peach, and you could see, you know, he was so happy, he was so chuffed after the fight. He's calling him like has been Ratman, wasn't he? And you know, he's calling him the Buster Douglas of the 21st century. And, you know, I told you that punch was a lucky punch in South Africa. And he was right. I mean, he put those demons to bed and he literally just showed his class that night. And it was a great combination, a highlight reel combination from Lennox Lewis. And if anyone hasn't seen it, I'd advise you to go and watch the finish because it's an absolute peach. And Lewis, for those four rounds, is just class, basically. And it was astute tactics from Lewis and from Stewart, and they both put a perfect performance together and got the business done.
I seen a little twinkle in his eye, you know. Plus, I've been dreaming all week to change his name from has been Ratman. His name's has been Ratman now. I said that the belts were on loan, so he's had his 15 minutes of glory. Now they come back home to me.
Why did you hide out in your dressing room tonight? You seemed like you were just what, in your own zone, and you just were focused on what was going to happen?
Yeah, I was very focused. I didn't want to get into the hoopla. I was just showing the world that I was focused. They couldn't see too much of me. Even Ratman wanted to come in and see what I was doing. He was nervous. So he was outside my dressing room. I was laughing.
You describe what you were doing in the first few rounds. Your jab seemed more authoritative than we've ever seen it. You stayed away from his right hand. Was that the plan?
Yeah, just to give him some movement. He couldn't take the movement. And, you know, I just showed him a different style. I told you, I can switch any style I want to. And this time I just showed him the different style of moving.
They certainly did get the business done. This was massive, a massive win for him. You know, relief more than anything, I think, with this one, that, you know, this could have gone terribly wrong. He could have ended up losing this second fight and the rest would have been a completely different path of history. But it weren't going to be. The aftermath of it was that this led into the highly anticipated fight with Mike Tyson, which I'm not going to dwell too much on because I do believe this will come up at some point in the future on the Legendary Night series. But this was one that was anticipated for a very, very long time. Eventually, that fight was to take place on June the 8th, 2002 in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm really looking forward to when that one comes up for Legendary Nights, because I do genuinely believe that although it was way too late in both of the careers, I still remember all the build up to it. We've talked about it in brief detail on the Best Boxing Brawls episode. We've touched on it in Tyson's Career Profiles episode. It's one that I am really looking forward to talking about, more so for the build up and the antics outside of the ring, but obviously for the aftermath of these two gentlemen. Now, this led on to Lennox Lewis going on after that to go on and fight Mike Tyson and then finish his career in 2003 with an absolute slugfest of a war against Vitali Klitschko in what was an absolutely cracking but underrated last performance from Lennox Lewis.
It was, and I think Vitali proved that night that, you know, he's definitely a force and he's going to be a guy to compete with Lewis in the heavyweight division. And it was a cut that eventually stopped the fight, with Vitali Klitschko up on all the scorecards, 56-58 by all three. So it was a really bad cut. If anyone ain't seen it, it was a horrific cut. I mean, it was rightly stopped. I mean, we spoke about Tyson the other night. I think this one was worse for me, and it was rightly stopped. You have a look at this and go and look at Fury, and you're talking, you know, Klitschko in the end. Although he was in ahead, Lewis targeted that eye and eventually he managed to get the stoppage. And the rumour was he was going to have the rematch. It was looking like it was going to happen because of the way it ended. And people felt that, you know, without the cut, Vitali could have gone on and beat Lewis. And then in the end, Lewis decided to call it a day, maybe because he had already done what he needed to do. And I don't think he quite fancied getting in the ring with a younger, fresher Vitali Klitschko. And I think he thought, actually, do you know what? I think it's time to call it a day. And on top as well, as the undisputed heavyweight, lineal heavyweight champion, the only, if most people would call it the end, Lewis, of that lineal title, until there is an undisputed, you know, it was later on given to Vladimir in a fight against, I believe it was Chugayev, about sort of 8 years later or 5 years later. So for me, a lot of people do see Lewis as the last lineal, and I can see why. The Lion really did do his bit, and he was a great heavyweight. And I'll make him right. Why would he have come out for a rematch against Vitali? I don't blame him at all, to be honest.
Well, I don't either, because at the end of his career, you could see the hunger and desire had gone after he'd obviously won the titles of Holyfield in what was a great series of fights. Obviously, after having that blip on his career with Rachman and then winning it back in the fashion he's did, and then obviously the Tyson fight and then the Klitschko fight, what else was there left for him to prove in the heavyweight division in 2003-2004? There wasn't really at this point. You know, he was pushing on in his career, he was pushing on in age. Why go out, on a low? Why not go out on a high? And he did do that, and that's exactly what he did. And obviously, over the years, he's teased on many occasions he'd get out of his pyjamas for £100 million to fight again, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I really, really don't think that will ever happen. I mean, obviously, there's talk of ex-fighters coming out at the ages of 53, 54, wanting to have one more. But Lennox Lewis is a guy that went out on top, remembered as a boxing hero, as a boxing legend, and quite rightly so. And, you know, the blip in his career, known as Hassan Rahman, it's a part of his career. It's a part of history. And this fight and the way he come back to get his sweet revenge in this fight, was absolutely brutal and brilliant. And let's not forget about the other fighter in this one, Hassan Rahman, because obviously this wasn't the end for Hassan Rahman in his career. After he lost the rematch to Lennox Lewis, you know, he was around for a good few more years. In fact, he retired in 2014 and he's currently now a trainer. But when you look through his record after the loss to Lewis, he was involved with some good fighters. You know, he went on to actually fight Evander Holyfield in the next fight after getting beat to Lennox Lewis. Then he went on later on down the line to fight guys that are well known, like Monty Barrett He had a draw with James Toney, a loss to Oleg Maskev, and then we got James Toney in a no contest in 2008. He went on to fight Vladimir Klitschko in 2008 and lose to Klitschko. And then you had other guys on there, like most notably Alexander Povetkin in 2012, who he lost to. So, you know, he was still around for another 13 years after the loss to Lennox Lewis, after having a great 2001 and then losing at the back end of the year, but making shitloads of money on the back of that one win and that one punch. You know, for him, he made a great career out of it. I mean, I don't know financially where he is in his life now. I know he's obviously training Michael Hunter at the moment, a heavyweight prospect that, you know, we really enjoy watching. But, you know, what he did was that one punch, as I've repeated it many, many times in the episode, and there's a reason. It's because it changed his life, it changed his career, it changed boxing history, and this does happen from time to time. We've seen it over the years, again, most notably with Joshua versus Ruiz, a guy who wasn't expected to go in there and beat the heavyweight champion of the world, and what happens? He beats the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy, isn't it, how things can turn out for someone. He was a late bloomer. Oh, he didn't start until sort of his 20s. So I think he was 20, 22 when he actually finally turned pro. It was, you know, one thing about Hasim Ratman, he was, you know, if anyone that watches The Wire, that's where he was brought up in Maryland, Baltimore. It was a tough upbringing for him, and he was actually shot 5 times. He's lucky to even survive that. You know, he's come through that, as well as having to, I believe someone told him off the street, go and become a boxer, because he was knocking people out for fun on the streets. So they said, go in the ring. Earn yourself a few million, and boy, did he do that. And as you say, he moved on. I mean, to fight the guys he fought in Evander Holyfield, and it was considered at the time, I mean, after the Lewis fight, people were wondering if maybe he's a bit of a banger, maybe he's going to be holding on to the titles. Obviously, it didn't quite work out like that. But to go on and defeat Vladimir Klitschko, to lose to Vladimir Klitschko, but he actually did pick up another world title as well. I believe it was the WBC title, where it was, I think someone vacated it. I think it might have been Klitschko. I can't think, it was Charlie maybe. And he was like the next ranked fighter, you know, when someone decides to, oh no, it wasn't. I think it was Jones Jr. Who had the title, and then he went back down in weight, and then Ratman was the next in line, and he just got given the title. He ended up, I think he lost it in the first defence, so he might have won it actually against Monty Barrett. That's right, for the vacant that was an interim. I'm getting confused here. It might have been James Toney, but he did pick up another world title, Hasim Ratman. So he's a two-weight world champion, which is incredible, really. You wouldn't think of that when you think of Hasim Ratman. But, you know, he had a troubled upbringing. He got through that, and he earned himself a few bob. And as you say, he's training Hunter, who's a great prospect. So, yeah, you can't forget about Hasim Ratman will always go down for, obviously, the famous win against Lennox Lewis, and rightly so. And he did progress, and he had some good tear-ups, good fights along the way, and credit to the guy. He wasn't not the one of the first names you think of when you think of heavyweight boxing, but you do remember it, like Buster James Douglas. That's the same thing. It's just the guy that beat the big man, and you're never going to forget them guys.
No, you're certainly not. He's you know, it's been enjoyable to sort of touch on the career of Hasim Ratman, really, in this one, because it's guys like this that you won't really see come up in this series, because, you know, he didn't really do a great significant amount in his career. I know it sounds like I'm sort of contrary to what we've been discussing tonight, but obviously the biggest stamp on his career was beating Lennox Lewis and winning them titles, and then that led on to further opportunities in his career down the line. And the reason that they got them opportunities was because of the fact that he beat Lennox Lewis. Although Lewis absolutely obliterated him in the rematch, he wouldn't have had all them opportunities, as you were saying, you know, beating Monty Barrett, getting that interim WBC heavyweight title, having the draw with James Toney, as I touched on earlier. So he retained that WBC title when he was made full champion, and then he lost it to Oleg Maskev. So, you know, he was involved in some other decent fights throughout his career, obviously fighting another sort of unified champion, so to speak, in Vladimir Klitschko, and then fighting another up-and-coming heavyweight prospect who was 24-0 for another world title, but losing against Alexander Povetkin. So, you know, he did actually turn out to have a pretty good career all in all, and it's surprising about what this one punch did for him in his career. And we boil it all down to this one punch in his career, look what he achieved as a result of it, which is not
something I reckon he would have achieved should he have not got that victory over Lennox Lewis. I don't think he would have got all them opportunities, and that's not to say I don't think he was good enough. I just don't think he would have got the same successes should he have not got that victory in the first fight and ended up getting all that money and getting involved with Mr. Slippery and, you know, all the other stuff that went along with it. I just think it was a historic moment in boxing history, and quite rightly why people have voted for it as a sweet revenge for this legendary night, because for Lennox Lewis, it certainly was a sweet revenge.
It was, and that's the point of it. I mean, I think we're being quite respectful to Hasim Rahman. I'm not disrespecting him anyway, but, you know, this was a sweet revenge poll. So, you know, you had Patterson, you had Johansson in there, you had Bowen Holyfield, and you had Lewis and Smelling. So, you know, you got some massive, massive fighters in there, and Hasim Rahman Lewis was the one that come out on top, and clearly, and that shows you, because it was sweet revenge for Lennox. I mean, Hasim Rahman, he's done what he's done is unreal. This not only earned him shitloads of money, but he's ended up becoming, you know, he got a name for himself. People now would look out for him. I did. I was one of those guys. I didn't know Hasim Rahman before he stepped into the ring against Lennox Lewis, and after that, I followed his career. So, you know, that just shows you. The same thing will happen with Ruiz, what he's done with Joshua. And if he could actually go on and do the same against Joshua, who knows, it's possible. That's what people were saying about Hasim Rahman and Lennox Lewis. Hasim Rahman, Ruiz, are they much different? Probably not, really. I don't think so. I don't think there is much. The difference is Anthony Joshua as good as Lennox Lewis? That's the question you're asking yourself there. And we're not too sure about that. Obviously, those questions will be answered later on in his career. But yeah, you've got to credit the guy, has he? And not only that, I believe he actually won a little court settlement against Don King as well later on, where he had to break the contract with him because Don King tried to hold him. You know, when he gets these fights, I think he had all the heavyweight champions around at the time before he actually managed to break loose of that contract. So it's another win for a fighter against a promoter, and I love hearing them stories, especially against guys like Don King. So Hasim Rahman, good luck. So I think he actually moved on to Bob Arum, which is probably no better, to be fair. But credit to Hasim, and he had a good career at the end of that, and off the back end of it, and unbelievable, really, but he managed to win another world title. So credit to him. And Lennox Lewis will always go down for me. He's probably the best British heavyweight for me. I don't think there's anyone that really touches Lennox at the moment. I've got my favourites, but Lennox for me was the clear best British heavyweight around forever, really. In the whole of history of boxing, that's just my opinion. But yeah, a great fight to cover, and a great pick from the viewers.
It certainly was. So thank you to everybody that voted in the Sweet Revenge poll. I really hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. I really hope you enjoyed the social media coverage of all the four different fighters in that poll. And that's something, obviously, Johnston will be looking to do for the next poll, which will be coming out following this particular episode. So you'll be able to get voting on your next favourite legendary night, which will be put out after this one has been released. So thank you so much, as always, for voting for all the episodes that we're putting out. Thank you for following us on social media, and also a big thank you for following us on all the available podcasting apps out there. If you are an Apple user and you are using Apple Podcasts to listen to this podcast, if you've not already rated it, please go and do it, because it really truly helps us get up the promotional rankings for the podcasting charts. And when you do that rating and you put that review in, gets to more people. People get to see what we're doing, they get to see the episodes, the feedback that you're giving, that you're enjoying it. So please, if you've got 5 minutes just to go on there, leave us a quick rating and review, please go and do it. And for any of the other podcasting apps as well, you can do the same on there. If you're on Podbean, you can leave a rating, leave a review. If you're on Stitcher, Spreaker or Player FM, you can do it on there. If you're on Spotify, you can follow us on there. You can share the playlist on your social media. You can share it on Facebook, on your Twitter, or on whatever other social media you've got. Go on there and share it and spread the word about the series. So thank you, as always, Johnston, for coming on the episode and breaking down Sweet Thanks, Revenge, the Lennox Lewis versus Hasim Rahman number 2.
And right now, Thomas Hearns is an open book to Ray Leonard, backs up against the ropes.
This is one of the most unusual calls by a referee in the history of the sport.
The first loss, a tremendous victory. Leonard fighting off the ropes.
It happened, it happened. An uppercut by Douglas. Down goes Tyson. Hooks in, right hand shot.
Lennox Lewis knocks out by Tyson.
Now slumps to the canvas.
The champion struggles to stay on his feet.
How do you like it?
Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.